Africans can address issues in Africa that are potentially bigger than just Africa. So we want Africans to correct Africa, and then we want Africa to correct the world. And I think about that theologically. And then we want Africans to reach Africa missiologically. We talk about the gospel, evangelism, church planting, those things that we think of when we think about mission. We think about the results of mission, which is a holistic approach in meeting human needs and those kinds of things. We want Africans to reach Africa, but we want Africa to also be mobilized to reach the world. So we're thinking in those terms. And so we have seen great momentum this year. And I get the privilege, because I'm on the steering committee and because I talk to these guys who are sort of running things in between time, these AB316 guys, and I get the privilege of seeing things that you don't know and seeing things that you don't see. And so I just wanted you to be aware of that and to understand sort of what's happened. I won't go into that. I just talked about our theological focus and our missiological focus. And we've already talked about our identity and our mission, or as what we're proposing for an identity and mission, that we would be a cooperating body of Baptist theological institutions and committed individuals that long for and work towards healthy, biblically sound churches that exhibit both Baptist and African identities. We exist to impact local African churches through Baptist theological institutions by strengthening and promoting sound, missional, and contextual theological education that's rooted in the Bible and responsive to African sociocultural realities. So what's happened this last year? Well, one of the things, our numbers have almost doubled. There were about 20 people who were, I've not got the exact numbers, but there were about 20 people who were here last year that weren't able to be here this year. I still consider them in AB 10. And there are other people who wanted to be here this year that are new that haven't yet been able to come. But in terms of the numbers of people who would consider them a part of this movement, I think we've doubled in numbers. We have members now in at least 22 countries, and that was up from last year. I think we had about 18. We've got at least 45 institutions that are represented in this network. Now, some of you might not realize you've joined us, and you have, and maybe we need to, we need Ken to come back and actually talk about boundaries again and who's in and who's out. But that's because we're sort of in this nebulous gray area where we've not yet, but that'll all be sealed up tomorrow when we talk about what does it mean to be a partner, what does it mean to be a member, what's required of you, what happens there. And we're gonna, we talked as a steering committee last night when we were supposed to be in here talking to you. We were talking to each other in our meeting about maybe the possibility of signing some kind of a document for those who are here, who are going to be founding members or charter members of AB 10. But in my mind, that's everybody in this room. So I've signed you up, whether you have agreed to sign up yet or not. So maybe we need to have a conversation outside about that. Our partners have started three new seminaries who are present at this meeting, and that's exciting to me. One that's related to South Sudan, one in Botswana, one in Tanzania. The Botswana one's been there for a while, but I keep bringing it, saying, hey, we've got a new seminary. Because what excites me about these seminaries is that these are not driven by Western influences. These are Baptist conventions that are saying, we need a seminary. And for our country, for our denomination, and that's very exciting to me to see them driving that. AB316 has begun working and has a large social media footprint. Partners around the world are hearing about AB 10 and are wanting to connect with the network. That includes seminaries in the West. Last year, only Southeastern was here. Now there are four Western seminaries that are represented. That includes publishers. See, to me, that's the power of a network. That's the power of the African Baptist Theological Education Network, because what that does is that because we're together as a body with a common purpose and a common vision, it allows us to relate to other entities and organizations as a body. And so that gives you access that you might not normally have. That gives them access that they might not normally have, and allows us to be able to have a larger, maybe even more viral footprint in the world. Publishers, printers, similar organizations, that's also fraught with dangers, so we have to navigate that. Opportunities are coming to our members for being published, for connecting, and for partnership and collaboration. What is the potential? What is the potential of this organization? This is just my thoughts. First of all, I'd like to say Ab10 does not exist to grow Ab10. That's not what we're about. I don't believe that. We're not about making this a big powerhouse organization. We're not in this for ourselves. We're in this for the glory of God and for the sake of the gospel and for reaching the world for Jesus. That's changing the world. That's what we're after. And empowering Africa, maybe that's not the right word, enabling, facilitating, whatever words you want to put there, but trying to come alongside Africa and to see Africa and change the world, and not Africa for the sake of Africa, but God using Africa for His glory to change the world. We exist to do more together than we can do alone, and that's what makes us truly Baptists, and that's why we rally together under that flag. We've talked about, you know, what kind of creates our identity, and we have intentionally avoided certain doctrinal ends of our spectrum as Baptists. And I need to be very careful because I don't want to offend anybody in this room. But, you know, there's great diversity within Baptist life, and we're going to have a statement of faith, I believe, that will eventually draw some boundaries, because just because you call yourself Baptist doesn't mean we necessarily want you to be a part of Ab10. And when I say we, I'm talking about the royal we, not me. But at the same time, we want to allow for some diversity and emphasize the things that connect us. That's why we focused yesterday a great bit on Baptist heritage and Baptist distinctives and what makes us distinctively Baptist. And one of the things that I find the most dear to me when it relates to being Baptist is that true Baptists, okay? Now that's going to make some of y'all mad at me when I say that, because there are people who claim to be Baptists that are not maybe confused about what Baptists believe. But true Baptists equally hold in one hand autonomy and in the other hand cooperation. And what we tend to do at times is we tend to default to one hand or the other. And for the sake of doctrinal purity, we reject the concept of cooperation and we go off and do our own thing and form our own little kingdom. And because we don't want to engage in the conversation or in the dialogue, and so we tend to retreat inwardly, and we cling to our autonomy as Baptists, and we reject our cooperation. At the same time, we see others who love to reject the concept of autonomy and focus so much on cooperation that they end up becoming ecumenical and they go off to the other end of the spectrum. And I believe that what makes Baptists unique among all evangelicals on the planet is their ability to actually live within the tension between autonomy and cooperation and to rejoice in that and to glorify God through that. I see both in the Bible. And I think that's what I love about this group that's in this room. There are going to be things that we're going to disagree about. And I hope, though, that we can all agree about being Baptist. And that, because we have to be defined. We can't just be everybody come. I mean, that was a great lesson. I mean, boundaries and borders, it's got to be there. And so what's going to define us? And we're all defined by something. And so, anyway, I'm hoping, and I think our steering committee and this body, for the most part, is hoping that we will find ways to be truly Baptist, and that's why we rally together under that flag, and we exist to do more together than we can do by ourselves. If our seminaries, Bible schools, and training centers can be more biblical, more effective, and more fruitful, then we will produce better leaders, better pastors, better missionaries, and then the local church will be strengthened. And if our local churches are more biblical and more missional, then they will send more into the world and we'll see a greater wave of gospel advance, and it will be healthy gospel advance. Liz's words were true. Africa is going to influence the world. The question is it going to be a good influence or a bad influence? She didn't say it exactly like that, but I'm adding to her. That's how I took it. And I got the microphone, so I can just say that. She'll correct me later. Reaching Africa and the world depends on the local church right here on this continent. The people in this room and those who would join us are the greatest influencers of the local church. So this is how I see our organization. We have the potential, if we have a healthy biblical perspective and fraternity together and network, we have the potential, as this thing grows, to influence the influencers. Influence the influencers, and therefore we have the potential to change the world. And that's what I want, nothing less than that. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but that's where my heart's at. That's where my heart's at. If we're not going to begin something tomorrow that literally changes the world, that God uses to literally change the planet, then let's just go home and watch TV. I mean, we could, you know, I mean, whatever it is that you do, it just, that our time is too valuable. And I don't want to give my life to anything less than God changing the world. I mean, I think that's what we're all about. I hope that's what we're all about. I'm not in this for me. I hope you're not in this for you. I hope you're in this to change the world. I'm convicted and convinced of this, that God's going to use Africa to change the world. I just believe that. I see everything. We won't go through the statistics, the numbers of where Africa is. And Liz said some things. A lot of speakers have alluded to this and talked about the potential of Africa, how Africa's on the rise. I think we're all in this room because we believe that, because we live here, because we've been called to work here, because we see the potential of what God wants to do here. And we don't have time to waste to just meet for the sake of meeting, you know, or to have an organization for the sake of an organization, or to find somebody to publish my dissertation. That's not what we're about, at least in my heart, in my mind. We're aiming for a theological reformation in our lifetime on this continent. Can I say that? This is what we're aiming for, and I'm putting we there. If this is just me, then enjoy Brackenhurst and see you later. I'll do something else. But this is what I think we're aiming for, the vision that we're casting. We're aiming for a theological reformation in our lifetime on this continent. We want to see Africa be known for having the healthiest churches on the planet. I don't think Africa's known for having the healthiest churches on the planet right now. That's not how we're caricatured or characterized. But I want to see that change in my lifetime. I want to see that change in my lifetime. I want Africa to be the example of theological health when it comes to our churches. We're aiming for the African church to be the ones leading the rest of the world to theological health and balance. And we want to see African Baptists leading the way in that. Nothing against the West. But it's time for Africa to take her place in the next phase of what God's doing in the world. And I want a front row seat at that. That's why I'm here. We're aiming for the African church to be continually thrusting laborers into the harvest field and sending national missionaries to the far reaches of the earth. Africans in Afghanistan, Africans in the heart of China, Africans all over the world taking the gospel, planting churches, sharing Christ, living out the gospel among people, changing the world. We're aiming for the completion of the Great Commission in our lifetime. Boy, isn't that a brash statement? Who would say that? We're aiming for the completion of the Great Commission in our lifetime. And by equipping the church to fulfill that practical mission, and by equipping her leaders, we are intending to actually influence and energize the mission's advance. We are aiming for a vibrant, healthy network of institutions and individuals who serve for God's glory and seek to expand His kingdom and not our own kingdom. Too many people on our continent are building their kingdoms. That's all it's about. Every week, I have emails or meetings with churches from my own denomination in the States who are meeting with me because they are here in Kenya working with not Baptists, but with prosperity gospel preachers and neo-Pentecostals that have connected with them in the States and brought them here, and they're telling me how excited they are, and what they're really doing is building some man's kingdom. They're not building God's kingdom. They're building some man's kingdom. They're building somebody's community school, somebody's orphanage, somebody's money-making scheme for their church, somebody's church building, somebody's whatever, and it's all totally focused on what's wrong and not what's right and not what God's after. And I love you with all of my heart, and I have loved this last year's journey, but if we're not about this, then maybe we shouldn't exist. And if we are going to exist, then this is the vision that we need to grab hold of. I believe that with all my heart and soul. This is a vision casting moment. You don't have to accept this vision that I've written here. That's your call. But in my heart and mind, I think this is where we're going with Ab10. This is what Ab10 means. And if you want a front row seat for the next big thing God's going to do in the world, then I would ask you to join with Ab10 as we roll this out tomorrow morning. If we want to build our own kingdoms, if we want to do business as usual, if we just want to keep continuing to do what it is that we've been doing, then you're also welcome to that too. We're going to have to begin to think about more than fellowship. We're going to have to begin to think about purpose. What unites us, why we exist, and what God wants to do. And I'm going to tell you, these are some of the biggest, boldest, God-sized statements that I've ever seen on a single PowerPoint. A theological, and these are God things. God brings reformation, not us. God reaches the world. He completes the Great Commission, not us. I get that. But that's what I'm aiming for. That's what I'm aiming for. I think that's what you're aiming for. I think it is. The question is, do we really believe God can do that? Maybe a better question is, do we really believe God will do that? And I just am convicted and convinced by Him that He will, that He wants to, and that we are living at a unique point in history where we have the privilege to be at the inception of something that 30, 40, 50 years from now we'll look back on, or historians will look back on and say, that's where it happened right there. This was when they nailed the 95 Theses to the door. You know, we look back on moments in history like that, and at the time, Martin Luther had no idea what he was doing. I mean, he had an idea what he was doing, but he had no concept of what would be sparked from that or how people would point back to that. And I feel that same sense of pregnant anticipation on this continent and in Baptist churches and in this group, in this organization. And I would just challenge us to bind our hearts together for the sake of what God wants to do, what's clear in His Word. When I tell people, this could be, that is the end. I tell people this. When I first got saved in 1980. That was before some of you were even born, probably. I'm an old guy. I got saved in 1985, radically changed my life, and learned how to share my faith. And when I had to talk about, even before I was in ministry, what's your goal for your life? What is it that drives you? And I would say, the goal for my life is the completion of the Great Commission in my lifetime. That's what I'm about. I'm going to share the gospel with as many people as I can share the gospel with. I'm going to disciple as many people as I can. I'm going to be as faithful in my local church as I can. I'm going to do all that. I was saved through Campus Crusade for Christ. You can probably hear that seeping out of me, you know. And it was, and as cheesy as that might seem, I'm telling you, that has defined my life. And then I was in ministry, served as a pastor. Still, that was my goal. Change the world, change the world, change the world. I'm going to change the world. Didn't mean that in a bad way. God threw me. Not trying to take any glory from God. But that was my perspective. And then God called me to be a cross-cultural missionary, and I served in Zambia. And I got there and realized the world was a lot bigger than I thought it was. And the task was a lot greater than I thought it was. And so I changed my perspective. Now I'm going to change Africa. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to reach Africa in my lifetime. And then after about 15 years in Africa doing that, I said, boy, Africa's a big place. Well, there's a lot of people, and it's a lot, and I'm just one guy. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to change Zambia, okay? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to change Zambia. I want to see Zambia reach for Christ in my lifetime. That was my mission statement, my vision statement. And then God did something in my heart, in my life, honestly, through Africa, through the African church, through Zambians. I mean, we just became a part of that. The hardest thing I've ever done in my life was moving from Zambia to come here. It was harder ever than leaving America to come to Africa. But what I learned there was what I've been sharing, that the potential for what I'd always dreamed would be possible really didn't rest within me. It didn't even really rest within what God would do through me. It was what God was going to do through Zambians. And I think where I'm at today is I don't want to see a theological reformation through my ministry. I don't want to see the world reach through my ministry, through my preaching, through my whatever. I believe that I've matured to the point now where my vision and my dream is to see God glorified and God reach the world through Africa. And I just believe that where we're at today is a historic moment that's going to be not the only spark, but one spark of thousands of sparks I'm seeing across this continent right now. Serendipity, if you will. You can just see synchronicity. You can see all things kind of coming together from all around the world. And all of you have similar stories of you're seeing revival, you're seeing renewal, you're seeing reformation, theological reformation. You're seeing, you know, churches being planted. You're seeing explosive growth. We're seeing everything come together. Where in my mind and in my heart, I see what God doing. God is in His way, in His time. He is fulfilling that desire and dream that I've had from the day I came to Christ and that I'll have until the day that I die. It won't be how I pictured it. I think it's going to be through Africa. I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced of that. People ask me all the time, well, why don't you, and usually it's my in-laws who are asking me this, by the way. When are you coming home? When are you coming home? And in my mind, I'm like, you know, this is the World Cup, and this is the final second countdown, and we're about to score the winning goal. Why would I go home? Why would I leave that? So, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm not a prophet, as my brother said, or the son of a prophet. I don't know what's happening, but I have great, great faith in God. And I have a great love and a great faith in His church. In His church on this continent. You can do it. He is going to do it. Just let Him do it through you.